I'm Talisa, Tim's wife, and we've had the privilege of being on the field for about 19 years. I think Tim mentioned that. And the first place we went was South America. We were there for 11 years, and I landed 7.5 months pregnant, you know, and with a little one in tow. And we started the church 2 weeks later. Where do we live? Oh, that looks like a good house. Where should we start the church? Okay. And the team came, and I made sure to have a good stroller, so the sound equipment, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, practical. But loved being in Brazil. And then the same thing that took us to Brazil was a gentle tug towards Asia, just a gentle tug, just going, I wonder if we could help some people there. You know, it wasn't anything huge or magical, but my husband always says that the Great Commission, he doesn't ever check it off like a bucket list. Did that, you know? He says it's always calling out to him. And so what's cool is when we got there, like Tim said, we studied the language, and we said, well, what can we do here? You know, like, I think we want to stay. So we have, let's see our options. We could teach English, or we could teach English. You know, that seemed to be the options of what we thought we could do there. And I'm like, I don't really want to teach English. And he's like, I don't really want to teach English either. And so I said, well, I wonder if God would use, you know, jiu-jitsu. Tim has a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Both of us actually don't have our degrees. I'm working on mine right now, online. I just submitted all my paperwork yesterday, all my homework. It's like, kids, don't procrastinate. But I was like, Lord, this is what is in our hands. You know, and I told him, I said, yeah, we could do the jiu-jitsu gym, but I don't think it's going to be any fun. There's no food, you know? So I said, you know, let's make some cookies. Let's see. And we started with some free classes kind of near our house, and people liked it. And then we realized that where we live, they were wanting people to come in and start businesses. And so it took an investment of about $15,000, which we didn't have. And so, you know, there's two ways to pray for this, right? God, if you want us to start this business, provide $15,000. God, if you don't want us to buy, you know, start this business, don't provide $15,000, okay? Okay, we got $15,000 miraculously, completely, you know. One was this guy that we'd never met. Like, he just kind of approached us and said, I'd like to talk to you. Gave us like $5,000. Another one was from a UFC fighter who said, Jesus saved me, but jiu-jitsu saved me too. You know, I go, right on. He gave us some money. We're like, whoa, okay, cool. And then it was like 2 days before we were supposed to head back. And I'm like, money hasn't come in. Probably not going to happen. And then this couple that kind of bothered me wanted to have coffee with Tim. I go, okay, you take this one. These people kind of, oh man, last time I hung out with them. Anyways, which is kind of silly. But I ended up going to the coffee date, and I was able to relax a little bit more and had a good time with them. And I kind of forgot about being annoyed and really enjoyed my time with them. And now they're good friends. Okay. I got past it. Okay, people. Anyways, and they said, you know, what are you guys doing? What do you need? And we're like, well, we don't know what we're doing, but you know, if God wants us to do this business, we need another 6,000. They go, where do I sign? I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. From three places that I didn't expect it to come from. You know, kind of when you need something, you kind of go, I think I'm going to pray in that direction, you know, okay? And we know this because only God gets the glory, right? So we went back with the intent of opening the business, had the $15,000, we did that, opened the business. And,
Which was, explain that, that's quite an ordeal though.
Yeah, it was a big problem, it was huge. It was super annoying, yeah. But we paid someone who lives there to help us do all the paperwork, because doing things in another language is hard, right? And along the way, during this time, we asked people, what does this place need? What do they want? What could we provide? You know, just like, what is, you know, supply and demand, right? And we're looking at each other, what kind of supply do we got and what's the demand, right? So somebody said, health. People are pursuing health. I go, oh, that's a good idea. Okay, health. And then somebody said, well, try to work with kids. We're like, ooh, kids are a lot of work. You know, I'm thinking at first, I'm thinking, but our kids program pays most of the bills. Isn't that funny? And now working with kids has been the best because we work with the families too, you know. So what ended up happening was we are healthy lifestyle consultants. That's what we did. We opened up a healthy lifestyle consulting company. And healthy sports, healthy food, healthy lifestyle training. You know, parenting classes can fall under that. Tim's Jiu-Jitsu and the food that we make too. Do camps and other programs like that, all under the Body of Health. So we opened the business and rented a place, and it happened to be a fancy tea shop. And so Tim said, "Wow, this is a nice fancy tea shop that sold this very expensive furniture. Very expensive. It was called Boatwood Furniture. They pull boats out of the ocean, they make a table out of it, sell it for $7,000. I mean, it's really nice stuff." Tim said, "Well, if you guys want to keep the furniture here, you know, we could be a showroom for the furniture." I said, "That's a great idea." And I'm like, "Oh, we now have furniture." You know what I'm saying? It's like we kind of walking into it by faith, being willing to do, you know, walk through the doors God's opened, but he opened doors. And then like Tim shared, a month and 20 days after we opened this fabulous business that everybody was excited about and people were signing up for, the accident happened. And my best friend's daughter that was visiting us fell and died. And so now we started this business and we're going in this direction, and tragedy happens. And so we came back for the memorial, buried her, and then we got back on a plane in a week and went back to work this business. I know that is not usually part of the plan, right? And so we just remained faithful in that, saying, "God, what do you have us to do here? What do you want us to do?" And Tim being faithful to do the classes and just watching God add to the business, in a practical way, needing to pay the bills, like I said, with kids programs. People, it kind of like using what you have in your hands, right? For all of us here, probably native English speakers. And so a lot of the world really wants English teachers, really wants people to teach English. So it's a huge open door for that.
Yeah, normally you learn a language only if it's going to benefit you monetarily, mm-hmm. you know? So only missionaries learn a language that will not benefit them monetarily mm-hmm. because it's for the gospel. But most of the world learns a language if it's going to help them monetarily.
Yeah. And so just plugging away, you know, at the business and kept working and kept building it and being faithful there. And now we moved to another location. I sold that first location. We invested $15,000. I sold it for $35,000 and moved into an empty shell, refabbed that. It's three times bigger. And now we have a community center. So people come in. My heart was that, because this Asian country is a little oppressive in how it teaches kids and it's a lot through shame, I just had this idea of this vision that it would be a place where people belonged. They'd walk in and go, "I belong here. I feel loved here." Right? So we've opened churches and we've opened businesses. And so I can tell you guys a little bit about the comparisons and the differences, right? So the churches that we opened in Brazil, nonprofit, you know, serving, ministering in the slums, teaching the word, watching people grow, helping people learn English. It was beautiful. In the community center that we have now, it's for profit, pays the bills barely every month. It's been in the black since the third month. That means black is good, red's bad. Okay, I had to learn that too. So it means like it's paying its own bills. Its current expenses are $17,000 a month, and it's generating that itself. Barely, but it's doing it, okay? And so what I see, though, is like Tim said, if you go to a place that's kind of dark, it's just being you in Christ, you are a light. And so we have this open door for, we have more non-Christians than Christians in our program. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Saturday mornings are my favorite. People come in and they're tired from the long week and they're getting their kids to the little jiu-jitsu class and I just get to give them hugs. You know, just loving on people, loving on them. I came in the shop the other day and there was like three or four lesbians having lunch at a table and I just sat down with them and I go, "I'm so glad you guys are here." You know, they're foreigners. And they said, "This place just has a special vibe." And I said, "Thanks, God. You know, we came hoping that people would feel at home here." Some of our parents are atheists, some foreigners, some Chinese, and they recently, some that are moving from the southern part of the island, they said, this atheist couple, they have three kids, they are moving up, and they said, "That is the center of the community in your city. You guys have, your gym, your place is the center, the highlight." And I just go, "Thank you, God." And I tell them, I go, "God put this on our heart to do this, you know? And these are people that don't know him yet, but they're drawn to it, right?" So the benefits of having a church and the benefits of having business, maybe those people might not walk into a church. That's what I'm saying. So people call it, in close countries, they call it a platform. Does that make sense? Platform is something you work off of, right? So the platforms that we can have in countries that churches are not welcome, or churches that you're not allowed to open churches, you're able to use that.
Springboard.
Yeah, springboard into relationships and into people's lives. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So like the question here is, why start a business in a foreign country, and what countries want foreign business, and what would I even be qualified to do something like this? And so like we are like not qualified, by the way, you know,
I mentioned that.
And like money doesn't come, you know, doesn't grow on trees and all that stuff. And none of us come from like money, you know? So I'm just saying that it's like it has to be the Lord,
right,
and, you know, putting it together. And he has, you know, he's done it, you know, like just, you know, like Talisa said, just enough that we're still like on our faces, trusting the Lord and asking for, you know, grace.
For sure. If I could, I mean, again, it depends where you're going, what you want to do there. Really good to have a bachelor's degree. I'm working, finishing up mine right now. If you have a bachelor's degree, it helps with getting a visa.
There's a huge opportunity in China for teaching English.
Right. But they can't hire you legally if you don't have a bachelor's degree. So the bachelor's degree, if you really want to get a work visa in other countries, they want some sort of qualification, some sort of something. But if you're going to open a business, you just need money. So if you're going to get a job working under someone else, you usually need some sort of bachelor's degree. And even like where we're at, they don't require you to have a teaching degree, just a bachelor's, because that's what's required to be hired by law. So I encourage people, if you feel called to go to a place, bring whatever tools you can, right? Of course, we take the Lord. That's who's leading us. That's who's going before it for us, you know? But, I mean, we didn't ever really know or think that we would have a community center based off of jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But that's just something the Lord's allowed us to do.
Mm, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that you guys are all here for a reason, that you're kind of like, what does this look like in other places?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I was even thinking about, you know, Hafa being from Brazil, and if the Lord would ever call him back there with his American wife, what are things that they can do there? You know, I thought it was very interesting. Lucho was who taught last night, right? What did Raul Ruiz say to him first thing? He's going back and he said, get a job. He goes, get a job, start a home Bible study. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's God who gets the increase. It's God who's calling. It's God who's love. We just get to be the conduit. We just get to be the vessel that he's going to use, you know? But he's the one that goes before us, and he's the one that establishes us.
That's right. So it's an adventure.
Yeah, but people really want English teachers around the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
India.
Like in Brazil, it was like that, too. It was like almost every corner there was like English, learn English, you know, school, which was very interesting for us to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But in China, it's like on steroids, that need there.
Yeah,
and
huge.
In other places of the world, you know.
India, yeah.
So it's kind of just using what God, like that old adage that we hear so many times in a Bible study, like just use what you have in your hands. And, you know, I mean, there's definitely things that you want to better or get better. Maybe you need to get a bachelor's degree, or like us, we didn't. You know, but we went through another way by having a business, you know, opening a business. And
right.
So we didn't need those things, but then we had to, like, you know, God had, you know, came through in other ways for us to stay there and continue to stay there. That I just got a 2-year visa last
2 weeks ago.
Weeks ago. So, like, normally, like, if you've never been to a closed country and you never had your passport like put in the hands of someone behind a desk, so you know, like, theologically that you're in God's hands, right? But you totally feel like you're in the hands of another person when you're doing this.
I know.
You totally feel like that. So you're like, I hope they like me, or I hope they're having a good day today, or whatever. And if they decide to pick up the right stamp, you
right.
know.
Also, like where we live, there are tons of scholarships for foreigners to study the language in that country. And
yeah.
They'll give you stipends to live on.
So that's the interesting thing for some people that don't know. Like, so we can even be coming back here and not only talk about business, but also opportunities in the country that we're in. And so, like, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Right.
Like, maybe someone like, oh, I'm just getting out of high school, but I don't know what I should do next. I want to pay off my loan. And so there's a possibility maybe to work if you have a bachelor's degree of teaching, but also there's an opportunity to get a student visa and go and learn language.
Right.
And they can even like give you a scholarship there.
These are just opportunities that maybe we're not aware of. Like, I mean, really.
I wouldn't have been aware of that if I was just like.
Right. So that's what we want to tell you, that the business is an opportunity. Studying language is an opportunity. And teaching English is an opportunity. Let's say you don't have the finances for someone, you know, like you don't have a monthly support. It's feasible to go get a job and live on the amount of money that you are making in that country. And so,
and also be able to save.
There's a lot of people.
Like a lot of these schools, they will give you a place to stay, give you, give you money,
salary.
And so then you can, I've seen a lot of people save money. And,
right. Yeah, you know. For sure. But also the opportunities, we were given opportunities as pastor's wife, but then also now as coach and the bakery lady, you know, like.
Or business owners, right?
Business owners. The places that we get to go and the environments we get to and the people that we get to minister to and be with, it's completely different than it was as pastor and pastor's wife. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. God uses both. You can be called to do both in different ways, but he's able to do something above what we could think, you know?
That's right.
You have to be
flexible, like the old adage, blessed are the flexible, they shall not be broken.
Right.
You know, you would, like here in the States, when I used to hear that Pastor Chuck share that, it's like, oh, that means like if you have a 9 o'clock appointment, you should be flexible for your 10 o'clock appointment, right? But in another country, it's like you should be flexible. Like today, you can't get what you want. You have to come back next month
right.
for something that would take 3 minutes to do here,
yeah.
You know? So, or you're doing this type of business, but now you need to be flexible to change it totally
right.
to a different type of thing. So it's like that whole flexible idea is a whole different deal, you know? So, and so to be able to, I mean, that goes for even non-believers when they're in a country, a foreign country, if they're able to laugh at themselves, if they're able to be flexible there, mm-hmm. they're going to last.
Right.
But if they are not, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, like if I was an American, and like, okay, well, let's see how long that's going to last here, you know, because no one cares about what you think you deserve or your rights, you know.
Right.
It's like, so that has to be like totally ripped out. So, you know, we come from affluence here, you know, even if we're not in the wealthy margin, you are in the wealthy margin of the world.
Yeah.
So just to let you know, you are the wealthy, you know, so that's what America is. And so the 90% of the world are in the people that are living in abject poverty, and everybody is wanting to get to the States, like we heard today from Jorge,
right.
for whatever, you know, reasons of, you know, in you know, it's just, it's an amazing, fruitful place and blessings, and definitely the States has all their problems too. But it's just you have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people being allowed to come in here daily from other countries. Daily. Like you don't think they are allowed to. They are being allowed in by, you know, normal processes of immigration, blah, blah, blah. But there's also thousands and thousands of people that are being denied.
Yeah.
And that's what mostly makes the news or whatever. But, you know, it's just a very interesting moment in the history, I think,
yeah.
you know, the world. And that's where we're at, you know.
If you feel called to a certain place, that's another thing I would hit on. If you feel called to a certain country, like, you know what? Jordan is on my heart. I would suggest doing some research about Jordan, you know, and what type of job opportunities there are there. And then find the Jordanian community around here. Where are the Jordanian students studying? Do they need free tutors? Do they need tutors in their college? Here, find out what college. Yeah,
can you go out to eat a shawarma with those guys now?
Right.
Because that's what you're going to be eating all the time there.
Yeah, but like reaching out.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, reaching out to that community here, finding what you know about that community here, and making relationships with them here. Also, you touched on something I was going to say. Was it about
Chinese or language?
Yeah, learning the language, being faithful to learn the language, that's a big one. It takes time. I kind of currently call it my lifelong hobby. But also, if you go as a teacher, an English teacher, the platform you have is very well respected. You're a person of influence. You're immediately stepping in to a position of influence. Tim is their coach. Tim has over 100 students, and then the guys that come up and go, hey, coach, what do you think about this? I'm having this problem. You know, Tim doing marriage counseling, you know, with a jiu-jitsu.
Or weddings.
You know, or weddings. You know, do you know what I'm saying? He is the same person. He's the same guy in Jesus, who he is, all the gifts, ministering in this job, in this place.
And sometimes it's like it was very rough for me in a way, because like when you're like, your first, like, oh, I've been a pastor this long, and your essential or first gifts are this, but then you feel like, well, this is like what I can do, but not, I could take it or leave it. So I'm not the guy that's like, oh, I'm going to be preaching jiu-jitsu all the time, you know, like if I left, it might not go in that direction again, mm-hmm. But because that's just what God is using, I'm just faithful. I want to just be faithful to do that,
right.
You know, and if he chooses not to use it, then okay, you know, I'm not going to cry, but you know what I mean? It's just, you have to have a light touch with that, but you do, I think your first giftings come out, you know, that's what's comes easy, you know, feels like it's the Lord, you know, through your life, you know, when you sense like this is easy to do this, or this is easier to do that. You know, that's just your primary giftings that God's mm-hmm. given you. And there's other ones that you need to work on and maybe better, you know, but.
Right. But I was thinking too, gosh, I just went blank again.
I'm sorry.
I had it. I know you went so long. Like,
yeah,
I had
with,
it like right.
With language, with giftings.
It was about the business. It was about, oh, you might have come here wanting to get a formula and we don't have one. We don't have a formula other than being willing to be used of God in another place. And even looking at, let's say it's a specific country you're looking at, if you're wanting to teach English, find an expat community and find out what they're talking about, what they're doing. Non-Christian. Find out where these people are at, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. Like, Talisa, like, she won't say for herself, but she has an ability to, like, jump over a culture, which means there's a lot of walls within culture. There's books that are written, like some cultures have like a low wall and then the second wall is a high wall, or some cultures are a high wall at the beginning and a low wall behind.
In relationships.
So like,
high wall.
Like America is like very low wall, like, oh, hi, how you doing? Like you can really relationship, but to really like have a relationship with someone is a high wall.
You have to build it.
But then there's other cultures that's a real high wall at the beginning, right?
First,
you're like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to like get to know this person? And I can't even like get to know. But then after like they're one, then it's a second low wall. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Then you're in for life.
Then you're like in, like you're my family. Like come over. Like why didn't you're like 100 kilometers away. Why didn't you like stop by? You know? So
can I tell them about Jordan?
Yes.
So some students at Tim's studio are foreigners, medical students that go to study.
From different places.
I mean, currently you have Moroccan.
Yeah, was guys that, from Russian, but we call them
Chechnya.
Chechnya, yeah.
Chechnya.
And the Dagestan
Israel,
area. Yeah.
Dagestan, Israel. Hmm. I mean, these are some of his foreign students that come to learn jiu-jitsu. When on earth, he's my first Moroccan friend. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You're my first Moroccan friend. He's like, who is this lady? You know? But it's opportunities to have relationships with people. And what was I going to say about that?
Love them. I was trying to say about you loving people, culture.
Right. But it was culture. About the different types. Oh, Jordan. There we go.
Yes.
So One of Tim's students was a Jordanian medical student studying there, getting his studying.
His name was Abbott. Now he's Dr. Abbott.
Now he's Dr. Abbott. Anyways, we happened to be visiting our daughter who was studying in Israel, and we were next door to Jordan. He goes, "You must come to my house. You must come. You must come visit." I said, "Yes, we're coming."
He's like the Prince of Salt, like the area, you know. It's like
5 days with Abbott in Jordan, full-on Muslim family. We totally received us. You know? And I go, Lord.
And we're like family to him.
And now we're like family to them. And we sincerely love them. We sincerely love being friends with them, having relationships with them, doing things. And it's like, if we'd come as a church, it might not have happened. Do you know what I'm saying? So
might have never met him.
Might have never met him. And I'm saying, I'm open to staying as long as God has us where we're at. But if that time ever ends, we'll probably go open a church somewhere. You know, I mean, we can go back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not limited to one or the other, one being better than the other, but they both have their benefits. But I just really wanted to allow time for questions, and if anybody has any questions.
No, but what I was going to say is that one of the things in Brazil that I saw my wife do is that she would, you know, go up to a Chinese lady that was selling, like, orange juice shop or... you know, what do they call it? Those pastels and whatever. And she would eat a pastel from the person, right? And orange juice, and start to talk to the person about the language and, you know, get involved, not just like insincerely, but sincerely, right? So it's like there has to cross a point of anybody to just go, like, I'm going to sincerely love people, care for that individual that's in front of me, and then God will allow whatever results to come from that, you know? And so those are, you know, I don't think if my wife wasn't so excited about loving people like that I would even go there, you know? Like sometimes people think a wife's being drugged by their husband somewhere and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I feel like she's drugged, you know? But you know, it's like she's like loved people before. Her vision was before. And some guys have more vision, or they're visionaries. And I'm just like what's his name, quoting... you know, Carrie, about just being a plotter. That's me. Like, I don't even want to get on a plane. Like, don't even get me on a plane, you know? Like, I just want to be right here, you know? I just want a cup of coffee and a Bible and, like, just, like, chill and, like, love people or whatever. But, like, yeah, so it's sometimes, I mean, God uses everything. God uses the push of your spouse, the pull of this difficulty and those natural things that we sometimes resent, but we can't resent them because God is developing us through all of these different facets of difficult teachers, terrible bosses or whatever. He's using it to like get us where we need to go. Right. And so,
yeah, but like, if you can, if you're not sure where you want to go, what you want to do, find an immigrant here, find a foreigner. Go hug a foreigner. Go find one, you know? Yep. Like, look at the colleges, you know, I mean, I don't know Philly that well to find out what kind of immigrants are coming in and who needs what. But usually people bring their culture with them. So there might be a certain area where one group of people are living, they've got that restaurant. Go eat at that restaurant.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I just like, you know, and so you get to find a common ground. You know, how long you been here? Because people, it's using an opportunity when someone is kind of needy, you know, to speak into that, you know, into that need that they might have.
Yeah, and culture. I mean, there's so many things redeemable about culture all over the world, you know, language and food and clothing and all those things. Those are things that are awesome things, like, placed there by God. And sometimes I'll like eat in a Mexican food place and I'm like, thank you God for Mexicans, because
thank you, God,
like,
for
they
Mexicans.
Made this, look at this, look what I'm eating, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
For sure.
So it's like, there's so many redeemable things about culture, but there's also things that are diabolical about culture that even their own people know it's demonic, right? Even their own people, like, they'll go, it's kind of our tradition or blah, 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 but we don't really believe it, or, you know what I mean? So it's like you'll go to different places of the world and there's demonic elements, because Satan is the god of this age, right? And but the Lord wants to come and open their eyes, right? To turn them from darkness to light.
That's
right?
Why we're there.
From the power of Satan to God, right? Uh-huh. And so there's just two kingdoms. There's not seven kingdoms or whatever, you know. There's just two. The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. in Christ, right? And so knowing that God loves the world, knowing that the gospel is the power of God, knowing that you've already been commissioned, knowing that you're already ministers, it's like you have that authority as ambassadors of Christ to share with whoever's in front of you, right? So, I mean, definitely we all have to like suck it up and, you know, humble ourselves and on. That's like a ongoing process, you know? And the Lord will use us if we do. If we don't, if we're like, no, I don't want to do it, well, then God won't use us. It's not that he doesn't love you, but he just won't use you like he wants to, right? But if we do, if we're open to be, to kind of join in what he's doing, what he wants to do in loving people, then we get to be a part of it, right?
Yeah.
So.
And we have opportunities to do really, 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 really neat things in Jesus' name that we can't tell you about.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll find out about later.
Yeah.
But that is because, you know, we've decided to go and work there and be with the people.
Yeah, there's other people that are like, no, man, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to share on the streets and I'm just going to blast it, man, pass out flyers and just do it. You know, God's, man, he's called me. I'm like, okay, man, go for it. And then like, he'll be bounced the next week and, you know, write a book how he was persecuted or whatever. But I'm just like, there's just levels of like, how long you want to stay there?
Right.
And you need to like, not just be so interested on the quick whatever, you know. You need to be able to be consistent and show what, you know, love looks like, what grace looks like. And sometimes that's seeing your kids develop and making, you know, maybe disciplining them wrong or sharing, you know, doing something wrong and then apologizing. And, you know, that's like, you know, when you apologize to your kids, that might sound silly, but that's like no one does that in the world. You know what I mean? Like it's very rare. You know, when you implement Christ-like things into normal life, people don't know that. Like, they're like, how do you raise your kids? Like, what's the deal? Well, and we try to, well, they're not like seals, so we don't just tell them to sit down and whatever, roll over or whatever. You know, you have to love them, and every stage of life is different, and there's moments that you need to kind of, you know, kind of tell them what to do, but there's other moments of their life that you need to listen to them and you need to give them space to develop their voice and not let them be shut down. And so these are things that we've learned or learning, and even being from godly family, but like my dad was just, you know, very tough and whatever. And my, you know, even my mom was super caring, so she coddled me too much and, you know, and all this stuff. But it's like God, even like learning what kind of went wrong with your family or how they did their best, you don't have to do exactly the same way as your family did. You can learn from it, and you can also be a witness with these life things within a culture, because they're like, so what? You know, like, you know, yeah. You know, like there, you know, a lot of cultures like, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but it's like most people like in Asia, it's like they'll have their grandparents raise their kids, you know? So really you become a parent when you're a grandparent, which is the idea, like in some places. So like they'll go off and work and the grandparents will be watching them. And so there's some interesting aspects about, well, the grandparents are wiser, so that's kind of smart in a way, right? But then there's this amazing unit of family, or desire to have this unit of family, which is a good thing, right? It's a biblical principle, right? That's an honorable thing, you know, but it's not saying that everybody's like pure or like, you know, how do you say, honoring their family exactly, but their desire, that family unit, and don't make the break the family unit, because if I have a boy, the boy will live near me and then he'll be able to support me in the future. And so there's this contractual relationship sometimes with culture and stuff that we don't have exactly here, but things that we can like, oh, well, that, but that's a kind of a good thing, right? There's a good thing about helping your family and caring for your parents. And, you know, we're quickly to say you need to be independent, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what America has done. And, you know, and I guess if we didn't have that, there wouldn't be people like going out to the world and doing crazy things. But there's this independence built in. But other places like that, hey, the family, the dependence, that care. And so there's a balance with that. There's things that are like, actually, that's good. There's a good quality to that you can build on, even though they might not know how to care for their child or whatnot, you know.
And so, we know that the greatest cross-cultural leap was when God became man.
Yes.
Right?
The incarnation, right?
Like, and he's our example in that we can look at him and things that he didn't have to deal with, that he when he lived on this earth, that he had to deal with. And he's our example in every way.
Yeah.
In that.